E1.
Number 7B.
In a science, you only stay with what the subject is. If the subject is the one being, then that one being is only related to itself and is conscious of itself. So, if we would be wise, we would drop all other questions at that point. We would drop all the questions of how to heal the body, of how to state the relationship between God and man, and between man and man, and all that, and would start right there where every treasure lies, namely that being is so pure that it is not aware of anything else but its own being. Only when we step outside of being and take on a human standpoint, a personal standpoint, a bodily standpoint, a temporal standpoint, a material standpoint, a mortal standpoint, only when we go out of the realm of being, we ask these questions of how does God look after man. But if we would really stay with science alone, then our consciousness would be just sticking to the standpoint of the synonymous terms and ask completely new questions, no more the old questions, and would just ask those completely new questions, namely, what does mind know about itself as mind? What does mind know itself about itself as spirit? What does mind know about itself as soul, and as principle, and as life, and as truth, and as love? And we would just dwell within the realm of the synonymous terms, and therefore within the realm of the infinite, because the synonymous terms stand for the infinite. And that is the practice that we would get here, and which I would like everyone to practice year in and year out. I asked it already last year. I don't know how many did it. I guess not many did it, because the human mind does not like to take the big if they can take the small. The human mind likes to take the little, the very little. It likes to strain gnats and swallows the camel. It's a funny thing, that human mind. It runs after every little funny mortal material thought to put it straight by reversion, by argumentation, by metaphysical treatment. But it does not want to let go of one's whole human standpoint and see there is only one thing real. There is only one thing that is infinite, and that's the synonymous term. Therefore, in order to practice this law, one must not stand outside of this law and look at that law as if it would be here projected on a wall, or as if it would be somewhere in your notebook, and you look at it as if you were outside of it. Now comes the point where we begin to see that if we start right, we have to start with God or being itself. Therefore, our consciousness must be so that it is only conscious as being would be conscious. This naturally is a terrific new paradigm. Our old traditional sense through religion is to look up to God. Science is that which sits down at God's place and looks out from God. And with God's eye, with God's consciousness. And so the terrific thing about this law is, and why it is so difficult for the human mind to practice it, is because it's so simple, divinely. Because the human mind must be, you must let go of the human mind, take on the consciousness of the synonymous term itself, look out from the synonymous term itself, and be aware that the synonymous term does not know anything but the synonymous terms. And then we really get a good view of being. The only real good starting point of being. Now, therefore, the practice, as I said before, would be to practice this law every day. Instead of reading here a verse and there a verse and here a few pages in the Bible or so, and just having here and there a nice sense of something, of a detail, of a part, we really should take the whole and go out from the infinite, never leave the infinite being conscious of the infinite. Then we embrace everything. Within the infinite is included everything. There is nothing outside. And that would give us the only divinely scientific consciousness there is. So, does it make sense? Now we come to the crux. Does it mean something? Does it mean something terrifically big? If you sit down, all the books closed, all your notes closed, and you say, now, what is reality? What is being? What does being know about itself? What is it that being is its own infinite being? And you start out in the quietude of your consciousness, where everything of a human, mortal, material nature is dropped right out of your consciousness, and you just are the consciousness of the synonymous term itself. That's the only right place where we should be, to sit down at the right-hand side of the Majesty on high and look out from the throne of grace, never leaving the throne of grace. Think of it. Just you can write it down. You can write it down, huh? First, to sit on the synonymous term, with the synonymous term. Second, look out from the synonymous term. Third, never leaving the standpoint of the synonymous term. And I bet you that after a minute you fall from the throne. After a minute you fall right from the throne. Because indoctrinated in the consciousness of human being is that sense that you are not with God, one with God, but that you are separated from God and that you have a consciousness about things about which God is not conscious. Is that interesting, to know things which God doesn't know? Is it interesting to think about things that do not exist in reality? I don't see very much reason in that, much use in that. But try it. And it may take you weeks, it may take you months, until you can stay in that rhythm for half an hour. to go out from the synonymous term and to see that you are the consciousness of the synonymous terms. And therefore, as the consciousness of the synonymous terms, you cannot see anything but the nature of the synonymous terms. And therefore, nothing else but the divine nature of the synonymous terms. If you can do that, then you really get into a state of consciousness which is completely infinite, free. And I have another but. But do you know what mind knows about mind? If I start with that law and begin to see that mind is its own infinite mind, what does mind know? And so we have to break down the term mind, those synonymous terms, we have to break them down perhaps into ideas of mind so that we get a clearer and more definite sense of mind. And now we will do that. We'll take another diagram, 3, and we will now see what kind of nature of mind is aware of. If you stick to that, to those few points which I said. So I write down mind. I leave some space open here, perhaps you leave some space open here for something else, namely for the criteria. You write criteria and we will see if we find really the criteria of the law of science. We said, what kind of a law is that law which we have stated, that being is its own infinite being? It's an isness law, not a process law. So all what mind can see here as criteria is A, qualities of isness. Qualities of isness. Therefore, no, always when I have an abbreviation, when it is against something versus, I take this sign here from mathematics versus operational sense. Operational sense. So, because it's an isness law, and being is its own infinite being, therefore every synonymous term can only really know itself in an isness way, not in a processing way. We have other criteria because it is the infinite, therefore this synonymous term do not know anything about themselves which have a time sense or a space sense in it, because time and space is the counterfeit of infinitude. So as B on the criteria you can say no time sense, no time nor space sense can be in it. And because we have seen we sit on the throne of grace, on the throne of the synonymous terms, we are not aware of anything human. So no human connotation comes in. So as a criterion C, we could say, therefore, no human or material connotation. Yeah. I think more or less we have it. I think, can you see what I was doing? That I was really deducing from the law what criterions really must be taken into consideration of in order to be able to stick to the law. If I want to stick to the law and see that being is its own infinite being, it can only see itself in an isness way and not in an operational way. And I can see that because it's the infinite, it can have no knowledge of itself which would indicate a time or a space sense. And because it is the infinite itself on the throne of grace, it would not be aware of anything that has a human or material connotation. And if we keep these criteria in mind, we really get the pure, very pure law, and a very simple law. And so we want to see what does mind say, see, when we start and say that mind is its own infinite mind. Would mind know itself here? Could you say that mind is its own infinite healing? No. Huh? Could you say that mind, take another idea of mind like guidance, mind guides, mind is its own infinite guidance? No, it doesn't conform to these criteria. Why not? It has a time sense in it, it's an operational sense in it, Yeah. Mind is its own infinite law. Yeah? See? So you would know that mind here would be aware of itself as law, because law conforms to the criteria. Law has nothing to do with operation, it's just stating that it is law, and isness law has nothing to do with time and space, has nothing to do with a human or material connotation. We know mind, for instance, as that which corrects error. Could we say that mind is its infinite self-correction? No, Because correction would take in that it has a human connotation, Mind is its own infinite power. Yes. So we will put down power. Mind we know as the infinite cause. Could we say here that mind is its own infinite cause?
No.
No? Yes? No? Why not? Does cause conform to isness?
No.
No. Because cause asks for an effect. Has not an isness sense in it. Can you see that? Mind is its own infinite intelligence. Yeah? I think that's one, So we put that down,
No,
Yeah?
The fact that you use infinite sometimes, does that make any difference? Like, for instance, I thought about it, said poured milk, but the fact that you use infinite.
Yes. Well, even if I wouldn't use infinite, even if I would say mind is its own cause, it's no again, huh?
Yeah, but the fact is that infinite,
I don't quite see what the difference it makes.
Just putting it on a higher.
Yes, but isn't it in both cases no?
Well, I can see it now.
Yeah, yeah. Because cause, it isn't so much infinite, but cause is a beginning of something that demands an effect afterwards, huh? Whereas this is an isness law, huh? And therefore does not need a cause. Can you see how pure this law becomes? How all those questions which we use usually in metaphysical thinking, like that mind is the cause of everything, that we need to know the cause of everything, that from the cause every effect arises, this all falls out. The moment we start from that high level of consciousness of the synonymous term itself. Are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to think the way that the synonymous terms think? Yes? Sure. Huh? That's what we should do, huh? Instead of thinking up to God and crawling up to God, we should be really looking out nowadays from being, huh? Because that's the only consciousness that exists in reality anyway. All the other consciousnesses, like a human consciousness and ascending consciousness, is not reality itself anyway. So we have the right to go out from being itself, and I guess this is quite a training, to get rid of all the paraphernalia or all the bundle and burden of human thinking. And you begin to realize how few ideas which you have in the list of mind can be put here. So what you could do at home, for instance, is to go through the whole compendium, say, which has about 100 of different characteristics of mind, and go through them and ask yourself, do those characteristics apply to this law? Or put another way around, which one of those many do apply here? I don't think we find more than 4 or 5. I don't think we have more than 4 or 5. Isn't that terrific? Huh? Can you see what happens? You begin to structure your synonymous term and begin to see that the moment we relate, we have seen structure has to do with relationship, the moment we relate mind to the level of science itself, we have to sort out everything that does not belong to that level of science itself. And what stands out are just a few very characteristic, very deep ideas of mind that have their place value here. Does that make sense? Huh? You could put perhaps information insofar as you use it in the modern terminology. In the cybernetic terminology, then it is right that you can say that mind is its own infinite data bank, huh? Or information bank. Insofar, it's right, but not in the way we used it in earlier years, namely of passing information from one to the other. Huh? So that's why I actually left it, or like to leave it out, because it has two different connotations, that word. Do you see what we are doing? Huh? Suddenly we begin to see that mind, the moment that term is used in a specific place, that we have to define. And define means to make finite that term. We can't just take in any characteristic that we will find later on, when you come to mind in another level, then we'll find other ones. But here, somehow a sorting out of things takes place.